Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show is brought to you by the LasVegasAdvisor.com, CasinoMeister.com, and ThePog.com. Three great sites for all your casino gaming information needs.
This is the Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show, where we talk everything casinos and help you get the advantage.
Happy New Year! I'm so sorry I missed last week's show, which would have explained all of, you know, why we were missing for months on end. But nonetheless, you had to catch up with Mr. Dancer.
Yes, we did. I'm doing well. And how are you, Miss Hot Aussie Chick?
I am doing fabulously, and indeed hot. My goodness, Lord. Lord of, blah, 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 you know, tongue-tied. Lord Almighty, whoever you call him. He's made it very hot here in Australia.
Well, it's always hot in Australia, is it not?
No.
Well, in the summertime.
Sometimes it snows. In summertime, yes. It's very different. The sun burns. It's horrible. Burns,
and you had your pina coladas?
I did. I had a Christmas full of yummy pina coladas. For anyone that did not know, Dr. Nick came to Australia and brought me a supply of alcohol, which may or may not have included the white rum, which is required for my pina colada mixes.
The Bacardi rum.
Right, Bacardi rum, yes. Bacardi rum. And that is one of the reasons why a show was not done. We had a little bit of an issue there, not to mention Dr. Nick's court cases.
Yes, I mentioned it briefly last show. I have been engaging in some legal battles with the State of Nevada Gaming Board and the American Gaming Association, and it was advised to me by attorneys to kind of keep a low profile for a while, so which I did, and we are moving forward with that, and in the midst of a relatively serious motion where the State of Nevada is telling the courts that they cannot be sued for defamation because their information that they portrayed, they're saying that it was made in good faith communication. That is their primary argument. What that means is that there's public interest in the subject of me being quote unquote a cheater. However, they neglected to mention the fact that I was never convicted of cheating and all charges were dismissed. And
I just have to add in before you continue, by keeping low profile, what that kind of means is not that he's dodging anything or trying to hide or that he's some superstar or anything like that. It's like keeping a low profile, as in not having some idiot like me say the wrong thing.
Well, that is true.
We just
want to keep things as calm as possible without inflaming the situation, to give the defense any additional ammunition. But I've gone on programs to profess my innocence. And what this case is about is clearing my name. I have lost a couple positions because of this, because they portrayed me as a cheater. And I'm going to attempt to address that in the court in the weeks and months to come, which will be a long process.
It's very evident that you are not a cheater. Do tell me, do you have any educational background whatsoever to do with mathematics?
I have extensive mathematical training.
Which is what?
Oh, I've got a couple graduate degrees in math and statistical analysis and also economics, which relies very heavily on mathematics, and specifically in analyzing data and industries, particularly to the gaming industry, and where I apply my knowledge. It seems to be very evident.
So you know how to go 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
Yes, five. That is one of their instances that they're trying
really
to portray.
I'm glad that you can do that, because that would just imply immediately that you're not a cheat, but whatever.
Yeah, who knows? But more importantly, I've got expert testimony from a couple of individuals who've actually worked for other gaming boards of other states, certified affidavits saying there is no way on God's green earth that Dr. Colon was able to do what they're saying, or there's this quote-unquote device that they said can be used for cheating, is just impossible to do. So that's working for us as well.
Well, not just impossible. Why would you? That was my point.
Well, exactly.
Like a pretty smart man to me.
Exactly. Saying. It's.
Well, I think you can count.
What happens is, in the gaming industry, it's the classic problem of angels and demons. And that's a math problem, by the way. And if you've ever seen these, you see these like black and white pictures where you see whether it's an old woman or a young woman. Have you seen those?
What it implies
is that that's based on a fundamental mathematical problem where there's a picture with same kind of concept of black and white. You either see a series of black devils or a series of white angels within this picture. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's just that the gaming industry has been taught by all those involved that any people who gain advantage at gaming are cheaters. And the whole mathematical concept is based on predisposition of your thinking. So your heuristic biases are built in your perception. And all they've known is anybody who tries to, who's gained an advantage at a game.
Not all of them. Not all of them. Some do acknowledge and accept.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Express but, advantage play.
But the fundamental concept and the right. theorem that is handed down from the higher-ups in the gaming board are that all people who try to gain an advantage at casinos are cheaters. And that's
or
just...
Or rather, cheating them out of money, right?
Yeah,
is that a better way to say it? Cheating
I would
them
say
out of money,
yes.
They must be stopped.
Well, because and there's also a conflict of interest because the state agencies, like the gaming board, gain their money from taxes that are paid for by the casinos. So there's a financial interest involved there as well,
right.
in my opinion. Mm. So their initial biases are based on anybody who tries to gain money from a casino is bad, and rather than being really, really smart. That's what it is. And anybody who does that must be trying to cheat the system and is a criminal by definition. Now, of course, I have lots of attorneys who say that's not the case, and we are working diligently. Mr. Nersessian, Bob Nersessian, who is my attorney on this particular case, also is making that argument for me. So we made the arguments, the oral arguments to the judge on December 21st, where they filed what we call an anti-slap motion, which is a mm-hmm. Strategic law against public practice.
Well, we can't get any trouble. We can't get trouble in trouble for
no.
This
we're
right.
just we're just def-
we're slurring my words today.
We're just defining terms. Anti-slap legislation basically means that the government can't be sued, and then they list a certain number of reasons. Now we're arguing that they can be sued. The judge, who is the chief judge. Linda Marie Bell, who is the chief judge of the district court, seems to be a relatively smart lady, and she is taking all the information in and evaluating it as we speak, and we should have a decision shortly, and we're just waiting on that.
Okay, so there were other things that prevented us from doing the show, and other, well, I would say they are illegal, but maybe they're not. That happened to you. Well, not really in my presence, but kind of in my presence while you were in Australia.
Yes.
I believe you've been in contact with the Tournament Directors Association as well as a lawyer over something else.
Yes.
I don't believe. I know.
Yes.
In the know.
Yes. Any person who gambles, who engages in games of chance, and advantage play for that matter, tries to... they try to maximize their profitability, and they know that they're even when they're playing perfect,
right.
they are playing at such a small margin that when something nefarious happens and they're cheated out of money, or I think I was cheated out of money, that it affects their bottom line. I was playing in the tournament that was run by tournament director Mel Judah, Natalie, and John Sagan, I believe. Is that how you pronounce her last name?
Right. Yes, I believe it is.
And they run a series of...
It was the APPC.
Yes, they run a series of tournaments in Sydney. They're a pub poker club, I guess. And they run them. And there was a series of tournaments, or a series of events in a tournament, the APPC Championship. And I entered a few events. I satellited into the main event, and one of the events that I entered was for a $6,000 guarantee Noumea or Vietnam or Aussie Millions package.
No, that's not right. Yes. Not one package.
No, well, it was two packages.
A $6,000 guarantee. Yes,
it was a $6,000 guarantee of two packages for $3,000 each. That was the prize. That's what it was advertised on for months. That was the ticket that was sold to me. And there was a tremendous overlay in the tournament, and
I reported that.
Yes, you were reporting it
before I went vomiting my guts off.
Yes, you reported it, and what happened was, apparently they didn't have enough people. The whole thing was just a giant, terrible run. Tournament from start to finish, even from the dates that were selected. There were other events going on in town, and it was just very.
There were very big events that weekend.
Yes,
there, Star City yes. events and 50,000 guarantee here or there. I forget them all, but yes, multiple events.
Yeah, so it was just very poorly done. So I entered the tournament with the expectation that was on the ticket that said a $6,000 guarantee. I played extremely well. I finished second in the tournament, and when I was at the final table, I was informed that they were only giving one package away. And I was like, well, there's a $6,000 guarantee, so, I mean, you have to pay that. No, we don't. We told everybody before it started. They may or may not have. I never heard anything, and other people around
that. I didn't hear anything.
Yes.
I have to stand here, and I have to say, and I'm sorry if it offends anyone that I may or may not have been friends with in the past or are now, but I swear to God Almighty, here I go again. God's in my words today. I didn't hear anything about it, and right. I was reporting the event.
Right, so
I, the reporter, in fact, reported about the huge overlay and was yelling across the room to the tournament director saying, do I write it? Do I write it? And he replied, yes.
Yes. Excuse me, I just opened up a can of soda
now,
here.
I was a little confused from the advertisement about one thing. I didn't... all I had was the payout structures of all tournaments, except for the cash-out poker one, which was cancelled because they didn't want it to go into overlay. And the monster stack also cancelled.
Right. So
anyhow, I had the payout table.
Yeah.
So I was a little confused because I thought it must have been one package and cash.
Right.
So I reported one package plus a cash overlay. I'm not sure whether Mel Judah did or did not hear me yelling that across to him. So I write, you know, the tournament and a cash overlay, huge overlay. Yes, yes, yes. Right about the huge overlay, you'll get more people here. So there was confusion about that, but there was not confusion to me ever. Well, ever until you told me.
Right. Well, the point was...
that it was $6,000.
Yeah. Guarantee. Well, the point... well, it was always says $6,000 guarantee, and
yes,
how they decided to pay that is up to them. But the point was, a ticket was sold that said a 6K guarantee on it, and they negated that. Now, in reality, they should.
Not to mention all of the people that traveled a very long way. You came from the USA. You could have played at any tournament.
I did.
I was there.
I did.
You know, what about people that traveled from my neck of the woods or Melbourne or, you know, to play a 6K guarantee, not 3K, or other events that got cancelled? Anyway,
right.
I suppose the point is...
well, the point is...
guarantees don't have to be guaranteed, and people
yes,
get away with it.
Yes, and I contacted Linda Johnson, who's the director of the Tournament Directors Association.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she says, unfortunately, these things
now,
happen all the
first
time.
Lady.
Yes, the First Lady of Poker, Linda Johnson. And apparently, these things happen. And the
all the time.
Yes.
I'm shocked.
Yes. So what
because
we want to do...
I'm used to online. I've got to cut in and say a couple of things. Because, you know, in all my time in poker, I never thought that people would be doing this. I'm used to online. If there's not enough players, the tournament just cancels out.
Right.
We all know that. You get
right.
a refund and on to the next tournament. I've come across many people who have had massive overlays in their guarantee, almost sent themselves bankrupt and still paid them out.
Right.
I personally have never come across a guarantee that has not been paid out. And I assumed that because people had been telling me that if guarantee, you know, since this incident, that if guarantees aren't paid out, it's because of, you know, small writing, you know, subject to a number of players. But I know that wasn't the case.
It's not in this particular case.
Because I did the small writing, and I had many arguments about the small writing that was only for one tournament. Guarantee is only met if 50 players.
Right, and then
entered into the tournament. And that was for the 60,000.
Yeah, the high roller event, and it was such a poorly done tournament. I believe the high roller event only had something like 9 players, maybe 8 or 7, mm-hmm. but it was just
not many. That's how
it was.
The point is, they didn't have 50 players, and due to the writing for that one particular tournament, they did not have to guarantee it, but that writing didn't apply to the 6K guarantee.
So if you're going to play
specifically.
Yes, if you're going to play around the Sydney, Australia, be weary of Mel Judah, Natalie Saigon, John Saigon.
No, he's not normally there.
Well,
Crocodile Entertainment.
He was the tournament director, and I held him, and Bankstown as well. Bankstown
Sports Club.
Yes, which
they were ignorant about your complaints.
They ignored me altogether, so they have no respect for their players or no moral conscience when it comes to paying people out or anything that they have.
Patrons. They're patrons.
Yeah, so be wary of anyone who or any one of those people, Crocodile Entertainment, APPC.
Well, let's just not like
Well, I can only speak to them, Danielle, because that happened to me. That's the only person I know for sure that it happened to was to me them.
I know that. What I'm saying is I want players to be wary of entering guarantees with small operators everywhere.
Yes.
I don't want this to happen to other people. It is our moral objective to ensure that players aren't hurt or ripped off. As you were talking, there's that small margin. And someone doesn't want to spend a whole ton of money to travel to an event to get ripped off.
Absolutely. And Mel Judah does a series of events that he does in
which I'm not going
yes.
through now.
Well, this is what else happened. When I mentioned to this, I worked for Mr. Mel Judah in the past, as did you, on the on another tournament in New Caledonia, the NCPO, which we did a show from last year. And upon me objecting and raising my concern about not being paid, I was immediately terminated from that position, as were you, even though mm-hmm. they said you could come back if you wanted to.
Yes, I could come back if I wanted, but of course you had already booked your tickets to Australia to go to work at the NCPO alongside me. I am not morally wrong. I refuse to do morally wrong things. I would not leave you stranded in Australia, and furthermore, I do not want my name associated with someone that does not pay out guaranteed tournaments.
Exactly. And, you know,
I don't care if he's been in the poker world for 50 years.
Yeah.
He didn't pay you. Simple as that.
Yeah,
He argued. He tried to put his hammer down on me. He tried to intimidate me. He tried to take money from me that he knew that I need desperately. I mean, I'm just a single mum of 4 kids with no online poker to play now.
Right.
So, you know, he's like, you can still come and do your, he's not coming, blah, blah, blah. That is not cool.
That was very, very lack of class by him, I would say. And he refused to speak to me about it. He just ignored me to the point of
and
where
instead spoke to me.
Yes, so intimidating you. Now I had mm-hmm. gained, I obtained legal counsel through Australia, and they drafted a letter, and I will be submitting that information to them. Actually probably already was submitted, and again they ignored
probably.
That, and I will be publishing that letter online in a series of articles. And if you agree or disagree with what they've done, please leave a comment below, and go email, you know, Crocodile Entertainment or the APPC or the New Caledonia. All these contact information will be listed in the article that I will be writing about. So contact them and let them know what you think of their policy of not paying out, even though when they have a guarantee. and we will hopefully get this resolved.
And just
resolved.
For the record, there were other people that did not know that were on that final table.
Oh, correct? several.
And for the record, everyone, we're not out just bitching. I mean, between us collectively, we are now out of pocket over, well, a lot more money by standing up and saying this is not good enough than your measly little $3,000.
And this is why casino gaming in general gets a bad name, because you have nefarious people and poker in general. And it's reasons like this that, you know, poker, one of the reasons I'm assuming online poker was terminated in Australia because of these nefarious activities. People doing whatever they want and just ignoring the right thing to do. But hey, you know, that's their choice, and we will stand up and tell them, you know, hey, listen, this is not right, and we will not be going to your events.
Someone has to.
Exactly.
And so I have been talking, and not that I'm saying any of those people are sociopaths, but I've been typing on Women's Poker World again. I have finally managed to pull myself out of my rut and get articles and stuff up, and one of them has just gone crazy viral, and it is about sociopaths in the poker scene.
And ironically, that is a breeding ground for sociopathic behavior, the poker scene. What did you say?
I wrote that in my article. Yes. It's apparent that if you read places like Poker Fraud Alert and even Quora, I wrote all of this in the article, that they are all saying that it is a breeding ground, and not just a breeding ground for sociopaths. They're actually in two separate categories. There's high-functioning sociopaths and low-functioning sociopaths. So yes, I have continued my psychological studies, Dr. Nick. At home, though, not right. At school, as I should have.
And we did have some contact with a PhD psychologist who will remain nameless at this point, who reviewed your article said it was pretty accurate.
Yes, I'm very pleased with myself. For the record, everyone, I have done psychology only on, I started psychology studies at Macquarie University, I've only done depressive and anxiety disorders so far, so this is all new to me. In any case, I have then had the article go viral because people believe that there are sociopaths out there and they are standing up against them.
And there was actually one person in particular who this referred to, and we will not mention that person's name, but
there's been an absolute, well, I suppose everyone will know who it is if they go and look, but there's been absolute cry out from women in poker. Now, being at the forefront of women in poker for well over a decade, well, 15 years, I don't know, I've been an ambassador and pushing and, you know, doing all the things I can to get women into the game. Right. There's been a massive cry out to me, of course. Well, other people as well. There's people like Lupe Soto. She's out of the Women in Poker Hall of Fame. She's also just been inducted after 10 years of refusing to be.
Right.
There's who else has had people crying out to them? Look, there's just so many. There's just you know, all women that have pushed poker collectively. And, you know, women's poker is a bitch fight. Ooh. Don't think for a second that we wouldn't fight each other, because, you know, we bitch fight and people argue and whatever else. But we're always, at the end of the day, kind and considerate.
Well, most of them,
and
anyway.
We have the same objective.
Most of them.
We all have the same objective. Most, yes. Which is to do the right thing for women in poker. Because growing women in poker grows the game of poker in all. And women, whether we want to believe it or not, they're very reluctant to play the game.
Right.
But it gets them out of the house. It even gets them out of domestic violence situations. It helps them make new friends. It does all kinds of things. The benefits for women playing poker are huge. Now, of course, after they've played and been supported by and built up in a positive manner by ambassadors and peers in poker, the women are able to then go out at some times and play games with men. That's where they come from, guys. Most women just don't pop along and start playing poker, believe it or not. You know, they're hiding behind computer screens. It takes a lot to get them to live games, and even more to build the confidence to get them to play with men's games. Right. Not all women, not all, just some.
Yes, yeah,
anyhow, it is very, very, very disheartening, disappointing, and disgusting to me to see women out there putting women down. Today, I woke to an influx of absolute madness. Again, this is like the second week of it. Body shaming. Women body shaming women. Women trying to take money from women, exiling women. Women, well, I shouldn't say women, a woman and a band of merry men. Again, everyone will work out who it is. I'm just scared of legal implications. I don't know how your laws work over there in Europe or, you know, wherever. The point being that, you know, you people are sue crazy. Sorry for saying the word you people. You Americans, you Yankees.
Yes.
Anyhow, the point that I'm getting at is this has just got to stop.
Right, and
it's just got to stop. This is so bad for poker.
I think this
another reason poker's banned.
In my opinion, from what I've seen, there was, in this particular case, this person that we know about, that they were using to advance their own personal finances and agenda under the guise of promoting women in poker. So
yes,
they were putting their efforts towards to building themselves up and financially benefiting from women in poker when really... Go ahead.
And using a whole lot of women working freely for them, because these women are all banding together thinking, yay, we're part of something, yay, women in poker are moving forward, yay, we have friends. So we're going to do whatever work's necessary to help you. That's the worst part about it.
And it turns out that was not the case. Now, there was a tournament that this organization put on, that they were satelliting into bigger events, and the satellites, in the fine print, it said if you won the satellite and you went into the bigger event and then you cashed in the bigger event, then 50% of your winnings would go to the organization.
Mm-hmm. That's a
in general.
There are things such as staking satellites, but that's like kind of to the extreme.
Right.
It's like you pack, so there's a 10-seat sit and go. This is an example I would use. Where the prize is $1,000. So we're not talking $10,000, we're talking $1,000. And 10 players, let's just say as an example, pay $100 each. So that means it's covered. The satellite into the $1,000 event is covered. 10 times 100 is 1,000. You following me here, people? However, even if you pay full entry, you know, and the satellite's covered, they still expecting money. I mean, it's up to the individual to play, and the problem is, you know, people are saying, if you're that stupid, don't, you know, you deserve it. Well, no, we go back to the getting women into the game of poker thing. That's not a good way for women to get into poker.
Right, and what it is just make sure you read the fine print in any event, because
yes,
whether it's what happened in my situation where the guarantee is a guarantee, or whether they say it's subject to a certain amount of players, or whether they say, well, if you satellite into a bigger event, then we get some of that money that you win mm-hmm. in that bigger event. Just mm-hmm. make sure you understand what's going on before you get involved and you make that financial and time commitment. Because, you know, the worst part about it is when you get to the end and you're not getting what you expected, it's a kick in the stomach.
Well, let's just imagine this. Let's just imagine that the staking event that someone is entering is into the World Series of Poker main event, okay? That's $10,500 buy-in. Let's say they played a $1,000, okay? So this is the extreme example. Not really, actually. It's not really an extreme example. Let's say they paid $1,000 into a satellite, or even $500. And at the end of the satellite, they win their ticket into the main event, and they win the main event. Well, they have to give 50% of their winnings due to this to the other players, right?
Or the organization who put on the satellite.
Right. So the organization and its patrons, maybe? I don't know how it works, that put on the satellite. The point is, 50% of their earnings are gone because they did not read the fine print and they did not understand. Do you know what makes it worse? Now you have to take away the tax.
Mm-hmm.
What are you left with? You're left with what it costs to buy into the seat?
A chip and a chair.
$100,000 maybe. Yeah. $1 million out of eight?
How much? Well, it's still a good payday, but it's a long way from what you expected, was what we're saying.
Exactly, to say the least. So right. In fact, it...
And in most cases, the people that start these organizations, that run these staking tournaments and put it on, they're usually by one person. So basically, they're selling a seat into a tournament, and basically for them, it's a free lottery ticket because their charge is covered. And if they win, great. And if they lose, they've lost nothing.
Yes. Yes, in fact, they've got a horse in a tournament which they may gain money from.
Right, with no...
Anyhow.
So just...
I suppose it's up to the individual to enter, but people need to be made aware of that. It's another shady thing that's come to attention.
Right, and you know, anybody who is promoting things but has a financial interest, you always got to be weary of, and just make sure that you know what you're getting into before you sign the dotted line. Correct?
Correct. The other thing is, when it comes to women's poker, women in poker who have integrity all respect and all support each other, no matter what. You can play in any tournament you want to. You can be in any group you want to be in. You can be part of any association that you want to be in. Ladies out there, or gents, if you have women that play poker, if they are being forced to choose only one sector of women's poker, or such as, no, you can't go and play in that event, don't go and play in that, or I'll kick you out of my group.
Or in your case, don't interview that person because, you know, we don't want you to, and you're not doing enough for us, for free.
Right.
Which happened to you in the past.
Right, yes, I should have spoken up a very long time ago about certain types of groups and things like that. So let me tell you that I was an ambassador for Poker League of Nations. I can say this because it's the truth. And Poker League of Nations withdrew my ambassadorship because they believed that I was biased and not giving enough attention to them. They believed that although I was in the media, and they understand I ought to remain impartial, that I was not remaining impartial because I was not giving enough attention to them. How does that make sense?
For free. So they wanted you to forego your paid work and give them free advertising for free.
Or use my paid work to freely advertise them, which would make me look like a moral piece of shit. So obviously I'm not going to do either of those things. In any case, I was dumped.
Right.
So I should have spoken up a long time ago, because since then there has been 7 or 8 ambassadors also dumped. I think 7 or 8. These are women that were working tirelessly for free because they decided to be part of another women's tournament or another women's organization, or they didn't abide by the dictatorship.
Right. So, again,
anyhow, they've all spoken about it now. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women all upset.
Right.
And that is no estimation, over-exaggeration, rather. It's not an estimation. It's no... You know what I mean, people.
You know what I mean. It is the truth.
If that many people are running from something, you imagine there's a big tidal wave coming.
Right.
There's a whole ton of people running. You're like, why are all of those people running? Do you even question it?
Right.
No. You bloody run with them, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Enough
Correct.
Said.
Correct. So, what else do we have going on in the poker or in the gambling world? Let's see. There is a...
Good stuff.
Yeah, there is a major lawsuit going on right now in California.
That's good.
Yes.
Oh,
you brought this to my attention today.
Yes, I did.
Now, apparently...
Well, we're going to be called Dr. Nick and the Negative Chick.
Well, I don't think it's negative. It's just... We discuss all aspects of gaming.
It's positive.
Yes.
It's positive for people because it's keeping them out of trouble.
Well, I think... Like you said, in America, we tend to pursue any type of legal implications. And right now, there is major litigation in California between the Indian tribal casinos and the state of California Gaming Agency. And I think you should just give us a brief introduction of what that's all about, because you seem to have read the article about it.
Well, I've read a few articles about it. The problem with me is that I don't understand American law.
Well, I think American lawyers don't even understand American law. It's so complex and convoluted.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better. Basically, there's three tribes now in America that have been complaining for a very long time, and the gaming board, body, whatever they're called, in California has just been giving them lip service, whatever that means. American slang, I assume. I believe you told me when I told you that.
It's like, it means basically, don't worry about it, it's okay.
Right. So what they're complaining about are multiple things, and to my understanding, they are playing house-banked games over 84 or 86 casinos throughout California, which is against the rules and against the law, the gaming law, and they're complaining about prop players who are giving half of their winnings to the house, and they're also complaining about bastardizations of games, blackjack as an example, 21st century blackjack, and blackjack 10.5, and they're saying that it's all against the law, the gaming law of California, and they're suing them.
Right, so
they're saying they've had enough. They're suing them. They've combined together and they've said, and that's a lot at stake. That's a lot of money at stake.
Well, how it goes in California is, you can play like a blackjack game or a roulette game or something like that, but you essentially have to pay an ante for every hand of blackjack you play, or every hand of roulette or poker or whatever it is that you play. So you're not, and it's essentially an even money game. The house really has, you know, has an inherent advantage, but it's like player versus player rather than the player versus the house. But in some instances, what this is about is that the house is acting as another player. So they're challenging that notion, because there's a series of card rooms in California, and California is made up of a bunch of Indian tribes, has a lot of Indian casinos in California, so that is where they're going for right now. So it's going to be a very interesting lawsuit to see how it all comes out. And
they're angry for players too, though. They're saying that it is unconstitutional or something like that.
Well,
a 10 equal to 10.5, because a regular folk like me are walking on in, and their 10s are worth 10.5 in this game, and that it is not fair and it is against the law.
Right. Well, again, the Indian tribes have traditional rules because they're sovereign territory, they're sovereign land, and it's a competition issue is what it is. They're not accurately describing how the game is played, and if their idea is, if players knew how they were being played, then they would forego going to those local card rooms and go and play at the Indian casinos for more business.
From what I've read, the Indian casinos are claiming that it is in the California Gambling Act, whatever that is called. I forget the name of it. I forget most of the legal terminology. That they're not allowed to do any of these things. That it's written in the law that they cannot do this and they cannot do that, and that the gaming board is just ignoring it.
That's very possible. I'm not entirely sure how it is.
Well,
again,
I'm not either. Obviously.
Now again, thankfully, in a couple weeks we're going to have Bob Loeb and Bob Nersessian on at the same time. The two Bobs, probably the two most knowledgeable people. Also, I. Nelson Rose, who falls into that category, is probably the three most knowledgeable attorneys, gambling attorneys in the country. But we will see how it all plays out. Maybe they can explain a little bit to us.
Yes, they may be able to understand it more. Now, is there positive things happening?
Let's see, what else?
That's kind of positive.
Well, for the players, yes.
I mean, it's positive for me. If I walk on into a casino and I go, ooh, blackjack. Yes. I mean, I'm just as stupid as they come when it comes to blackjack. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to go, woohoo, 21.
Right.
I've got 21 and a half.
So.
Or they were also complaining about the movement of dealers. they're not circulating them properly throughout the casinos. Well, apparently you have to go from table to table.
I'm not entirely sure. But what I can tell you this from personal experience is casinos will cut every corner they can to save a dime. It's not even a question. I know that there was a dealer that I knew of at one of the MGM properties who got sick, and they put on family leave, and when they closed one of the poker rooms, they just terminated her altogether. They just said, sorry, you're done.
Wow.
And even though they were relocating other dealers, legal things on our minds at this time. So that's what they're doing. Now, digressing back a minute, when you said when the casinos or the American Gaming Commission has been ignoring it for years, that kind of falls into similar aspects with my legal case against the American Gaming Association and more specifically the Nevada Gaming Board, where the courts and the American and the Nevada Gaming Protection or Nevada Gaming Agency, Nevada Gaming Board, are essentially the same people. So you're asking a judge to rule against themselves.
Oh, against the government department. Yes,
so
that makes sense.
So again, your legal president has to be very, very solid. Now,
Indians are solid.
Well, yes, the Native Americans.
Why would they do it then?
Yes, the Native Americans can sue. They have sovereign law on their land now.
Right, aren't I allowed to call Indians?
You can call them. They're Indians, Native Americans. They go by any number.
My sister's an Indian.
Yeah, Rochelle. I've met her. Her father was an American Indian, yes.
Correct.
Maybe an American Indian. That would be the best term, but so to use.
I call her an Indian. Well, sorry, everyone. I'm not being racist or biased or anything, clearly, because I'm an Aboriginal. My sister's an Indian Aboriginal.
Yes, and you have your Aboriginal card to prove it now, too, don't you?
Yes. You know, my sister may be the only Native American cross Native Australian in the world.
Yeah, that's quite
a
title.
Is that possible, do you think?
Maybe, who knows? But now that we're talking about your family, I think you should be very proud of something recently because your youngest son had quite an accomplishment recently.
Yes, he did actually. We've missed out talking about a lot of stuff and great stuff, bad stuff as well.
Yes,
I did. I emailed a whole ton of people. I was so excited. My son received not one scholarship, not two scholarships, but three scholarship offers. I mean, that's just crazy, right?
Right, right. And he's a smart guy.
And off to university he goes.
Yes, he is. He's on his way to university to study some type of,
He's studying, oh my gosh, it's such a long
Aboriginal or something?
No.
He wants to use science
and tourism, recreational, outdoor education.
And because he wants to utilize his ability to get a government job, because he can go on a lot of the Native Aboriginal territory because he is Aboriginal.
Right, and he can protect our caves with our Dreamtime Aboriginal paintings, and he can protect our Ayers Rock.
Yes, Ayers Rock.
He can also teach school children and continue on all of the outdoor information about Aboriginals.
Yeah, Ayers Rock is this giant place, this giant rock in Australia, and I read something that if you take a piece of this rock away from it, and you are not a Native Aboriginal, then you will suffer a series of bad luck. And there's actually been the instances where the post office, the Australian post office, gets, you know, hundreds and hundreds of packages with rocks in them to be put back because they've had bad luck.
What if you are? Do you know what happens if you are Aboriginal and you take a piece of rock?
I don't know.
Is that good luck?
I'm assuming that it's because your land, you can definitely use a little
take
bit of
rocks.
Luck, yes. Yeah, so I'm not entirely sure.
There are positive things in poker. Oh. All this horrible talk about women's poker. I just wanted to say, ladies, there are some positives out there. The Women in Poker Hall of Fame, of course, is on every year.
Right.
The Women's Poker Association is now 100% free to join,
right.
Which is just fabulous. We can rest assured that you're not being sent into dangerous territory there, because there are integral, long-standing women in the poker community that are part of the Women's Poker Association.
Yes.
They had their stuff all over the Women in Poker Hall of Fame tables even. So what I'm saying there is that the Women in Poker Hall of Fame obviously are there for a reason.
And they've actually partnered up with several different organizations to expand their base and to promote women in poker. You know, right. they're working
have done good things.
Yeah, they're working with the Women's Poker World magazine. Your baby.
That makes me happy, of course.
Right, and the real...
I'm not being biased because of that.
Right.
People, do not get me wrong. When it comes to media, I will not be biased.
Right.
Even my own business. That's why I'm broke.
And they've also partnered up with the Real Grinders Lounge, who are promoting women in poker as well. So, a shout out to Raymond Davis and the Real Grinders Poker Lounge. Have a look at their site. They have some great things going on there as well. But a lot
of he actually posted today in the Women's Poker Association that he has their back the whole way.
Right.
So I assume there's a huge big problem that is happening. People saying awful things about them. Well, they're not true people.
Well,
people
they're
in the Women's Poker Association go back so far. Let me tell you, so far, that they've got photos playing with Stu Unger, some of them.
Yes, and, you know, these newcomers who just come out of the woodwork in a year or two, they try to take over everything, and they obviously get a very rude awakening to what's going on.
I've got
to
stop saying that. That's a positive thing, anyway. We're going negative again. So the Women's Poker Association, ladies, that is a positive thing.
Yes.
Get on in there. Also positive, the World Series of Poker has introduced a new tournament, which is... a mini Mega Main.
A mini Mega Main.
I've used the wrong words. It's a mini main event.
Okay.
So right before the main event, you have the exact same structure of the main event.
Okay.
The World Series of Poker, but you only pay $1,000 entry.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. And what's the prize
limit
there?
Well, that's good for someone like
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I can afford $10,500 buy-in.
Is it a bracelet event, or is it a non-bracelet
yes,
event?
Oh, yes, beautiful. Yes, no, they've got a few new events. So anyway, all of those schedules are coming out. So that's really good. World Series of Poker is like just a breath away now.
Right,
I'm not
right.
going.
Now, let me, before, you know, we're getting to wrap things up. We're coming up on about 50 minutes here, but I want to mention this thing with the interview that I did with Bob Danzer. It's interesting. When we did the program with Bob Danzer last week. We were having technical difficulties. There was an interesting sound that occurred at about 14 minutes and 30 seconds on that event, on that interview.
Yes, go and listen, everyone. So go to 14 minutes. No.
14
go,
minutes.
Go
it was
to
like
14 minutes 35 seconds.
Yes, it's about there. And right about there, there was a demonic growling or something going on in there. And I had no idea what it was.
Oh, you would not have known it was there, I don't think. I sat, of course, and I listened to the show, very sadly, because I could not be part of it. And I really wanted to speak to Bob Danzer
right.
about video poker. Thank you, Bob, for coming on the show. And do tune in to Gambling with an Edge. You can catch it on Las Vegas Advisor every single week, or YouTube if you're on there. Anyhow, I really wanted to catch up with him. So anyway, I wanted to listen to the interview, of course, that you did with Mr. Danzer. And I listened on in. And I got really suddenly scared. Now, of course, the night before, I was laying in bed on YouTube listening to a series called The Scariest Night of My Life, is what it's called. You guys have to watch it. Honestly, it's like, no, don't do it at bedtime like I did, though. It's not stupid. Anyway, the very next day, I hear the same demonic growling noise that I heard.
Yes.
On that show.
And we did that show at the Huntington Press Las Vegas Advisors home offices. And I mentioned to Anthony Curtis, who owns that publication and publishing house, that you got freaked out. Not just you, but everybody that you listened to, that you showed or had listened to it, also got up.
I was like, oh my God, a demon!
Yes, and when you were at the offices, when you were in Las Vegas, you were like, something's not right. And interestingly enough, I nearly fell down the stairs coming down the stairs of his office. So I think that demon tried to push me. That's just me.
I think you're possessed.
Either that or clumsy, either way. But when I mentioned
Bad luck follows you. It must be the demon. It must be the demon on your back, and it's finally making its presence seen.
Maybe. And when we mentioned it to Anthony, he's like, you sure it wasn't me yelling at one of my authors? Which was a possibility. But in any event, I told him that you insist on doing some type of spiritual cleanse when you come back to the States in May.
Yeah, on you.
No, on me.
Oh, you're going to be coming to Australia.
Yes.
I'm going to make sure I'm not sleeping in the same room as you.
Because I'm with the demons.
Or the same house.
Or the demons. I will be, yes, that is correct. I will be back in Australia for a few weeks in February, late February to late March. And the last thing that we got to mention is the Blackjack Ball is coming up February of this year. So we will be reporting on that and let you know how it all goes and who gets inducted into the Hall of Fame this year and also what kind of interesting things happen. But in any event, we will talk to everybody soon. This is Dr. Nick and...
The Hot Aussie Chick, of course.
Yes.
Very hot Aussie Chick. Very, very, very hot.
Yes.
47 degrees Celsius, shoot me now.
And we will definitely be back next week. Until then, aces and faces, everybody.
Bye-bye.